Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 2009. This is issue number 293. If you'd like to write to us at the DX Audio Service, the address is 706 Mackenzie Drive. That's spelled M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E. And that's in Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Email is sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S. and Canadian members is $28. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. To subscribe or renew, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using our PayPal credit card system. Well, this magazine is going to be fully packed with a lot of crucial information. So sit back, strap in, because Bill Hale's going to be next, and I'll be back with a lot of interesting stuff on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Bill?
This is the AM Switch.
Thanks again, Fred, and welcome everyone to AM Switch for the DX Audio Service for August 2009. Call letter changes. We have a few to report this month. On 690 KVOI, Tucson, Arizona has changed to KCEE. In fact, they've swapped calls with the 1030 station in Cortero. They were KCEE, now KVOI. By the way, 1030 is parallel or simulcast KAPT 930. Backing up just 10 kilohertz to 1020 KABA, Eagle River, Alaska, they've changed their call to KOAN. On 1160 WDJO, Florence, Kentucky is now known as WQRT. On 1200 KREL, Layton, Utah has made the switch to KOLJ. 1230 WWGA, Waycross, Georgia, they're now known as WAYX, which they were about a month ago. They can't make up their minds, I guess. And finally, a brand new station in Garden City, Kansas on 1340, they've taken the call of KGGS. Well, construction permits, which have taken to the airs over the past month on 750 KHWG in Fallon, Utah, is now on with 7,500 watts during the day, 250 watts at night, U4. That's two different patterns. 990 KATD in Pittsburgh, Kansas, they're now on with 10,000 watts during the day, 5,000 watts at night, U4. 1100 WISS, Berlin, Wisconsin, they're now on with 2,500 watts daytime, 1,600 watts during critical hours, all non-directional. 1180 KYES, Rockville, Minnesota, this new station is now on with 50,000 watts during the day, 8,000 watts during critical hours, 5,000 watts at night, using three different patterns. Our designation for that is U7. The day and critical hours patterns are virtually a circle, while the nighttime pattern shoots 99% of the signal to the northeast with a small lobe off the back. Rockville is a small community located southwest of St. Cloud. On 1200 WJES, Saluda, South Carolina, they're now on with 10,000 watts days, 4 watts at night, 6,100 watts critical hours, all non-directional, U1. 1220 KZEE, Weatherford, Texas, they're now on with 1,600 watts during the day, 200 watts at night, U4. Both day and night patterns favor the west and northwest. 1400 KIHH, Eureka, California, they're now on with 790 watts day and night, U1, all non-directional. 1550 KIVA, Albuquerque, New Mexico, their CP for 10,000 watts during the day, 27 watts at night, non-directional, is now on from the same but slightly shorter tower. And finally, 1600 WATX, All Good, Tennessee, they're now on with 2,500 watts days, 20 watts at night, increasing the day power and moving from 1590. Three new stations have been granted construction permits this past month. 900 Bend, Oregon, they've been granted U4, 50,000 watts days, 2,400 watts at night, using three towers all day and night. Both of their patterns are directed to the west-southwest. That new station in Garden City, Kansas, which we spoke of earlier, KGGS, they've just been granted the license for U1, 1,000 watts days and 880 watts at night. And 1350, way across the Pacific in Agana, Guam, they've been granted 250 watts day and night, non-directional. Some actions, KFEQ 680, St. Joseph, Missouri, their license for U4, 5,000 days and night. KFEQ has been granted a special temporary authority for 1,870 watts during the day, 1,250 watts at night. A farmer plowing at the KFEQ 3-tower site snapped one of the guy wires, causing a tower to topple. KFEQ will be using tower number 3 only day and night at those reduced powers until the down tower can be replaced and necessary tuning of the array is completed. DXers living east and west of St. Louis should give 680 a try as their night pattern delivers all of their signal due north and south. 830 WQZQ, Goodlettsville, Tennessee. A CP has been granted for 2,000 watts during the day, nothing at night. That's D1, the designation. Moving from 1550 at Clarksville, a move of about 25 miles, and 720 kilohertz. 920 on the dial, WEZZ, Brantley, Alabama. They've been granted 450 watts during the day and critical hours, nothing at night. Moving from 930 at Monroeville. 1010 KPCW, Tooele, Utah. They've been granted 50,000 watts during the day, 194 watts at night, 42,000 watts during critical hours, U4. 1080 WNWI, Oaklawn, Illinois. They've been granted U4, 3,000 watts days, 2,600 watts at night. 1220 WGNY, Newburgh, New York. They've been granted 10,000 watts during the day, 180 watts at night, U4. 1230 CFLN, Goose Bay, Newfoundland. They've been granted a move to 97.9 megahertz with 1 kilowatt at 25.4 meters. 1260 kilohertz WI2XSO in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. That's a repeater station for WISO in Ponce. They've been granted U4, 5,000 watts during the day and 1,800 watts at night. KSET Lumberton, Texas on 1300. They've been granted 1,500 watts days, 320 watts at night, U4 from four towers, using towers number 1, 2, and 3 during the day, 1, 2, and 4 at night. That's along with a city of license change from Silsby. However, an STA has also been granted to remain silent while the station completes required testing for those new facilities. 1310 KGLB, Glencoe, Minnesota. They've been granted 2,500 watts days, 270 watts at night, U4, along with a change in city of license from St. Peter. 1340 CFLW, Wabush, Newfoundland. The CP has been granted a 94.7 with 1 kilowatt horizontal at minus 26 meters. This station will continue to be a repeater of the aforementioned CFLN, which has been granted a move from 1230 in Goose Bay. 1530 WENG, Englewood, Florida. They've been granted a CP to add night service as U1, 1,000 watts during the day, 1 watt at night. 1540 KTGG, Akamos, Michigan. They've been granted 400 watts days, 219 watts at night, all non-directional, U1, with a city of license change from Spring Arbor. 1550 CBE, Windsor, Ontario. CP has been granted to move to 97.5 with 3.2 kilowatts at 130.1 meters. Along with this action, the CRTC has granted a repeater of this station in Leamington on 91.9 with 5.3 kilowatts at 73.6 meters. Member Dean McIntyre adds, and we quote, excluding low-power relay stations, this was the last CBC English station on AM between Winnipeg and Newfoundland. He thinks, but he is unsure of the status of CBI Sydney, Nova Scotia, which ran into problems with its conversion and is still listed as operating on AM in the Industry Canada database, end of quote. Also on 1550 KIVA, Albuquerque, New Mexico, CP has been granted for 10,000 watts days, 27 watts at night, U1. 1600 KRKE, Albuquerque, New Mexico, CP has been granted for 50,000 watts during the day, 175 watts at night, non-directional. And also on 1600, WATX, Allgood, Tennessee, they've moved up from 1590 and have been granted 2,500 watts days and 20 watts at night. Some applications of note, 590 WJMS, Ironwood, Michigan, they've applied for 5,000 watts days, 900 watts at night, directional night only, that's U2. 790 KBRV, Soda Springs, Idaho, they've applied to move to 800 with 50,000 watts during the day, 27 watts at night, 50,000 watts during critical hours, all non-directional. 990 KTMS, Santa Barbara, California, they've applied for an STA of 5,000 watts days, 125 watts at night, two different patterns, and as much research we did on that one, we couldn't find a reason for that. They just asked for the STA for those parameters. 1280 KZNS, Salt Lake City, Utah, they've applied for extra time to build their construction permit that they've had for quite a while now, 50,000 watts day, 670 watts at night, U4. And finally, WATO, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, they've applied for 1,000 watts days, 14 watts at night, U1. Applications for new stations, 780 in Draper, Utah, they've applied for U7, that's three different patterns, 25,000 watts during the day, 440 watts at night, 25,000 watts during critical hours. 1340, Conway, New Hampshire, they've applied for 620 watts day and night, non-directional. 1390, Pleasant Hill, Iowa, they've applied for U1, 1,000 watts day and night. And on 1600 in Billings, Montana, they've applied for 5,000 watts days, 1,250 watts at night, directional night only, that's U2. AM on FM, simulcast, relays, or whatever you want to call them. 920 KFLB, Odessa, Texas, is now heard on KLVW 88.1. 960 WERC, Birmingham, Alabama, they're now simulcasting on WVVB 105.5 in Hoover, Alabama. And 1470 WLQR, Toledo, Ohio, they're being simulcast on WRWK 106.5 in Delta, Ohio. Well, some odds and ends from here and there, returning to the airwaves this past month, WREN 590, Carrollton, Alabama, with Black Gospel. KOTC 830 Kennett, Missouri with Talk. WABN 1230 Abingdon, Virginia. They were off for about a week following a lightning strike. WSDT 1240 Soddy Daisy, Tennessee with Oldies. KWUD 1490 Woodville, Texas returns to the air with Country. And WBSG 1510 Lajas, Puerto Rico with Spanish News Talk. The following stations have been reported as silent. 910 KIYU Galena, Alaska, which was reportedly replaced by KIYU FM 97.1. Also off the air, WTCG 870 Mount Holly, North Carolina, WDTM 1150 Selmer, Tennessee, WTSV 1230 Claremont, New Hampshire, WAJD 1390 Gainesville, Florida, KWLA 1400, many Louisiana's also off. Also with the plate current at zero, WQBC 1420, Vicksburg, Mississippi, and WTNE 1500, Trenton, Tennessee. Also off was KPNW 1120, Eugene, Oregon, due to transmitter failure of both their main and backup transmitters, but they were working on a quick remedy. Fines reported this past month, $10,000 fine against KVTO 1400 Berkeley, California for failing to maintain its public inspection file. We have two news items of interest for you this month. After a few years of experimenting, the FCC has decided to go ahead with allowing FM translators to relay AM stations. The report and order has two requirements, that the translators are already authorized and that their 60 dBU signal does not go beyond the AM station's 2 millivolt per meter contour, or 25 miles from the transmitter, whichever is smaller. Stations which are licensed for AM daytime-only operations will be able to provide 24-hour service on the FM translator. The FCC has already been allowing AM on FM translators through the use of special temporary authorities. And news item number two, England is close to the decision which would eliminate all analog AM and FM broadcasting, known as Digital Britain, using the Eureka 147 system. The government is recommending that all new car radios be digital by 2013, with the remainder of radios be ready to go 3 years later. Ah, will we ever forget Radio Caroline? This month's thanks go to Sean Axelrod, Wayne Heinen, Dean McIntyre, and Dave Schmidt. And now, here's John Balker with this month's travelogue.
National Radio Club.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill Hale. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the travelogue section of the DX Audio Service. Now, I don't have any lecturing to do this month, so we're going to go right into the radio stations from way back when. Oh, and say, thanks for your comments that I get occasionally, and it appears that some of these stations that have long since disappeared are some of the more popular ones that I play for you each month. And we have a bunch of them, not all of them tonight by any means, but a few that have simply flown by the wayside or, in a couple of cases here in a few minutes, switched to FM, whatever that is. Okay. Now, let's start right here with a station that has long since gone. This one's 1010 in Baltimore. How many of you remember back to the days, 20 years ago or more, WYST? And if you live in the Baltimore area, you probably remember WERQ. Those are the call letters at 1010 for a couple of years before it switched to WOLB, which it is. Now it's a black station, black talk. 1,000 watts daytime, 26 watts at night. And you wonder, in an area like Baltimore, Maryland, how much of the community can they really cover? Well, here's how they sounded 25 years ago.
WYST with your chance to win $2,652 in cash coming up in minutes. 2:59 with Dan O'Neill on the most beautiful day of the fall. You got Hit Radio, WYST Baltimore.
Well, okay. Now, some of you may remember the name Nathan B. Stubblefield. He died in 1928, But he was an American inventor, a Kentucky melon farmer, if memory serves me correctly. And it was claimed at one time that Stubblefield had invented radio. And that's before either Tesla or Marconi or any of those people. But his devices worked by audio frequency induction. The way he did it was to build a huge audio transformer, and he put the primary on one side of the river and the secondary on the other side. And you go across the river, and by golly, you could hear all the programs coming from the other side of the river. And if that isn't radio, what is it? And they never did figure out what it was, but it wasn't radio. Nonetheless, in his hometown of Murray, Kentucky, that's out in the western part of the state, they built a radio station, and they called it WNBS. Here's how they signed off once.
This time, radio station WNBS-AM, located in Murray, Kentucky, and owned and operated by the Service Broadcasting Company, completes another day of full-service broadcasting. WNBS operates on a frequency of 1,340 kilocycles with a power of 1,000 watts day and 250 watts night.
That was that. A little abrupt, but hey, they're off the air and saving money on power, if nothing else. Now, last month, one of you commented you enjoyed hearing some of the Canadian stations that we just don't get in the Midwest and in the southern part of the country very well, of the U.S. So let's revisit. This is up in Nova Scotia. This station is one of those again, of course. It's gone. It's now heard proudly at 98.9, as I recall, in Antigonish, Nova Scotia.
I'd like to leave you with this reminder that 4 out of 5 mathematicians count on CJFX in Antigonish and Port Hawkesbury. It's 3 o'clock. CJFX News with Paul McCackern.
Very good, Paul. Now, as we go up the dial to 1140, here's a station that you ought to go after. This would be a nice DX catch, I should think, from virtually anywhere. 10,000 watts in Sydney, Nova Scotia, way out near the end.
Dial 1140, this is CBI Radio in Sydney.
Yes, well, that was recorded back in the day. I was in Calais, Maine when I recorded that. And those were in the days when I made recordings of station breaks just to prove I had heard the station. And that was pretty good proof. But I'm sorry I didn't get a lot more for you on that one. So, as I say, de-exit and see what it's all about. Now, this next ID is from the next-to-last station on the AM dial to exist on Prince Edward Island in Canada.
The time is 7 o'clock. This is Radio 1240, CJRW in Summerside. Good evening. It's 15 degrees in Summerside.
And we can't leave that part of the world without at least some of the local flavor.
Ici Radio Canada.
CBV 980, Québec.
Très bien. I mean, very good. Indeed so. Now, for you in the Midwest, and particularly those of you in New England or in the East Coast, here's a DX catch for you in Oregon, 50,000 watts at 10:30 on the dial. What more could you ask?
This is the voice of Dune Country, K-Dune Radio. KDUN, Reedsport, Scottsburg.
CNN Radio News.
Okay, and here's another one for you. How many of you have ever heard of Tillamook in Oregon? Well, I have to admit, the first time we visited Oregon, that was not a familiar name to us, but they have some of the best dairy products, the best cheeses, you'll find anywhere in the world.
Deja vu on Coos Bay. I'm Dave Bell with Newsbreak on the Oregon News Network.
Local news is sponsored by Wads Funeral Home. Stay tuned for the local news wrap-up coming your way this evening at 5:45 on FM 104.1 AM 1590 KTIL Tillamook. It's noon, time for Paul Harvey News and Comments, sponsored today by Kephart Floor Coverings.
Well, that's a very pleasant ad, but we just had our floors done about a month ago, so I'm sorry about the timing on that. Of course, that goes back 28 years, too. Well, what can I tell you? Well, now, as Linda and I continue our travels around the country, we come back to the state of Pennsylvania. Here's a station, as best I know, is still on the air, but it is at 940 on the dial. That's a clear channel. You got a shot at it. And are they on the air at night? Of course they are. 5 watts.
WVLV 940 Lebanon.
And I wish we'd been just a little closer to Lebanon when we made that recording. Well, now, with Fred's permission, please, Fred, I would like to play a station break, and I have no idea what this station is. I hear them saying this is 94 Country in Seattle. Well, there is no 94 Country in Seattle, and there hasn't been in 75 years or more. Who can tell me what this station is? Call Fred if you know.
94 Country,
and FM. And there it is. Okay, I hope to hear from you. Really, I would like to very much be able to fill in the spreadsheet that I have on all the recordings that we have, over 14,000 of them. And I think there are fewer than 12 that I really can't identify myself. Here's a station that Mark Strickert recorded for us in 1986.
13 Cans, KLYD, Bakersfield's classic rock station. I'm Miss Donna at 11 o'clock straight up. Here's Rick Springfield for you and Love Somebody.
Now, you know, for a big city, Chicago has sure had an awful lot of movement of its radio stations, particularly on the prime frequencies. Well, now, 820 in Chicago may not be a prime frequency. They do have a station in Texas to look out for and a few others. But how many of you remember WAIT as a mutual station, mutual broadcasting network in Chicago, even with WGN looming over them? And I mention WGN because it, after all, was one of the very few founders of the mutual broadcasting system.
State Alan Dixon as its choice to succeed Adlai Stevenson in the U.S. Senate. Now the weather from WAIT Chicago, it's 24 at O'Hare and at the lakefront, it's 22 officially at Midway.
And, you know, just to the east of Midway Airport, there's a part of the country that we visited, I think, twice in the 10 years that we were traveling all around the country. It deserved more, and here is one station break that we picked up along the western shore of Michigan.
It's called Fresca by Kenneth Nash on Rhythm of the Lakeshore, WGHN and WGHN-FM in Grand Haven. Well, the rain showers have started once again this morning. I've got a complete weather forecast.
And as we move along, of the 100 favorite announcer voices I have for station breaks, the next two are numbers 99 and 100.
WUP, AM 1000, Chicago.
Do a legal ID, Mike, and say we'll be back after the commercial. Say WLUP, AM, Chicago.
We'll be after.
Say WLUP.
L.
U.
U.
P.
P.
Chicago.
Chicago.
And for just a moment, I'll let the master tape simply roll.
And this is 1050, WLIP, Kenosha.
And more good music here on AM 1080, WNWI, Valparaiso, 1080 on your AM dial.
Oh, and yes, this next ID, I couldn't wait for this station to sign off the air when I was growing up from Vermont, because it would keep me from hearing the bell at 1160 out of Salt Lake City.
This is the Music of the Stars station, WJJD Chicago, a division of Infinity Broadcasting.
And, oh dear, if you have to ask what bell, tune into 1160 late tonight, because even here 70 years later, it's still on the air, I'm absolutely sure. And how would you like to hear the least inventive jingle of any station break I think we have in the collection? And we dig back 26 years for this last ID. Yes, and before you worry that the cassette tape I was using has deteriorated terribly on that ID, no, it's, well, maybe a little, but that was recorded from Frederick, Maryland. Well, okay, you know, just reflecting on that for a second, these cassettes have been lasting a long time. some of them a lot more than 25 years. And how many more of these travelogues do we have? Another four, I guess, to take us through the end of the year? Well, hey, that's going to do the collection up pretty brown, I would say. Oh, and don't forget to call in if you can tell me what that one station break is earlier in the program. I'd really like to know. Oh, the clock, it's coming up to 00, and here's my friend Mark Durenberger.
Thank you, John, and hello, ladies and gentlemen of the audio radiance. It's that time again where we take a slight break from our regular reports to indulge in some midsummer madness, to wit, a few snips from here and there in the radio collection that you may never have heard and we want to share with you. Today's ideas include some radio booster jingles, a 1929 radio receiver demonstration, the famous Conelrad duck and cover jingle from the Cold War of the 1950s, and, speaking of civil defense, a snip from the very first national broadcast of something called Defense Day in 1924. First, though, we'll go under the big tent. Well, it was a little tent, actually, on a rooftop in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That the Republican ticket of Harding and Scalise is running well ahead of Cox and Roosevelt. At the present time, Harding has collected more than 16 million votes against some 9 million for the Democrats. We'll give you the state vote in just a moment. But first, we'd like to ask you to let us know if this broadcast is reaching you. Please drop us a card, address station KDKA, Westinghouse, East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, we've all heard that audio, purported to be the very first radio broadcast from KDKA. Actually, it was a recreation. And KDKA has demonstrably been proven to be not the first radio broadcaster in this country, though clearly KDKA was the best at self-promotion. Like all pioneer stations, KDKA started in simple surroundings. Here's the first KDKA announcer, Harold Arlen, recalling what that was like back in 1920.
Our first broadcasts really were not from a studio. They were from a tiny shack located on the roof of a six-story manufacturing building. We had a small room for the transmitting apparatus and a still smaller room for the phonograph equipment. And we broadcast from the tent. One night, a storm came up and blew the tent off the roof. There went our first radio studio. We broadcast temporarily in the open air from the roof of the building, and that reminds me of another incident. In the spring and early summer, the moths and bugs would fly around the electric lamps that we used to light the roof. And one night, we had a tenor soloist on the program, and While he was singing, he started to hit a high note, and he sucked a bug into his mouth, and he choked right in the middle of his song. About the same time, we had a soprano soloist from Pittsburgh. This, the manufacturing building from which our open-air broadcasts were being made, was located right next to the Pennsylvania Railroad. This soprano soloist came out all dressed up in evening clothes. She looked beautiful. But right in the middle of her song, a Pennsylvania train went by and blew a great cloud of smoke and soot all over her hair, her face, and her dress. She just kept on singing through the smoke and soot and finally finished her song.
Now to radio as a military defense tool. Those of us old enough to recall radio in the 1950s remember the famous jingle that explained what to do if we saw a bright flash of light. That flash of light, it was implied, was an atomic bomb going off nearby. School children were instructed how to act, though little thought was given to the fact that it would have been like using your finger to try to stop a fire hose. Nevertheless, this was the government's advice in the Cold War years. This is how it sounded on radio and TV.
Dum dum, deedle dum dum, deedle dum dum, deedle dum dum. There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He ducked and covered, ducked and covered.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You and you
and you
and you. Duck and cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover.
We know the first transcontinental network was established on a temporary basis by AT&T for the 1924 presidential election and inauguration. People from coast to coast heard Calvin Coolidge all at the same time by radio stations interconnected by AT&T. The cost to do so, however, was prohibitive, and not a lot of stations were connected together for what was essentially a news and public affairs broadcast. However, a few months earlier, in September 1924, the federal government footed the bill for an ad hoc radio network for what was called National Defense Day. In one of the earliest recordings of a radio broadcast that survives today, here's a short part of what it sounded like. And note the famous call letters that were all connected together on that September day in 1924.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience. We are about to broadcast from the War Department building at Washington, D.C., the Special Defense Test Day program. This is station WCAP, Washington, WEAF, New York, WJAR, Providence, WNAC, Boston, WOO, Philadelphia, WGY, Schenectady, WGR, Buffalo, KDKA, Pittsburgh, WSB, Atlanta, WLW, Cincinnati, WGN, Chicago, KSD, St. Louis, WDAF, Kansas City, WLAG, Minneapolis, WOAW, Omaha, WFAA, Dallas, KLZ, Denver, and KGO, Oakland, California. Today is National Defense Test Day, and throughout our United States, in every city, village, town, and hamlet, were gathered citizens from all walks of life in answer to the Defense Day call. Reports have been received from every section, and they show that the response to the Defense Test Day summons has been most complete and successful. Here in Washington, the answer to the Defense Test Day call was really wonderful. This morning, all officers of the United States Army, regular, National Guard, and organized reserves within the District of Columbia reported at their proper posts, ready for duty. The spirit of cooperation and interest shown by the people was very keen and made you realize that they understood and appreciated the National Defense Test Day. This concludes the program and brings to a close the first National Defense Test Day, which I believe we have all enjoyed.
With these famous stations and others on the air, and hundreds more coming up each year in the latter part of the 1920s, The focus was turning to selling radio receivers. Quality was a big issue since many listeners were still using ramshackle radios and even crystal sets. The push was on to explain how the right radio receiver could not only capture all the tones of a lush orchestra, but could actually improve your life by making radio listening more convenient and therefore more fun. In 1929, Atwater Kent commissioned a recording that was to be played in radio stores. Prospective buyers were to listen to this 78 recording while putting their hands on the Atwater Kent's latest marvels. Here's a small portion of that sales pitch.
Every day and night on the air, literally millions of dollars worth of entertainment is set before you. If you could buy tickets to even a small part of this great show, they would cost you thousands of dollars. When you own a new Atwater Kent radio, you get it all, exactly as it is broadcast and free. Atwater Kent has made tremendous advancements in radio very recently, and you need this modern radio for your modern homes in this modern age. The first thing to know about in buying a radio is tone. We're going to prove the tone quality of the new Atwater Kent, the radio with the golden voice. You see how distinct and lifelike every instrument is? That's a test of Atwater Kent tone quality. The human voice, just as natural. For example, my own voice. But tone is not everything. The first function of a radio is to get the station. When you buy an Atwater Kent, you've got the last word in radio advancement, the last word in dependability. Now forget for a moment that you are listening to radio, and imagine you are in the broadcasting studio listening to the original performance. What we want to show you here is the amazing range of the new Atwater Kent with the golden voice. How it brings you every note that an orchestra can play, from lowest to highest. Let's start at the bottom with the tuba and bass viol. Now listen to the highest instrument in the orchestra, the piccolo. When you are listening to an orchestra, you must hear all the instruments, each playing its own part and contributing its share of tone to the whole. And it's your turn to take part in this demonstration. We want you to demonstrate another valuable new feature of this Atwater Kent, perfected tone control. By turning the right-hand knob, you can emphasize either bass or treble as you desire. Four definite shadings of the golden voice. Try it yourself. See how this tone control gives you self-expression in radio music. And finally, you have the satisfaction of knowing when you own the new Atwater Kent that no one owns a better radio. An Atwater Kent radio with the golden voice is a modern necessity that will return to you and your family many, many times its modest cost in entertainment, cultural, and educational advantages such as no other investment could bring into your home. This is Graham McNamee speaking.
Graham McNamee was probably the most famous announcer of the era, and his efforts on behalf of Atwater Kent had to cost the manufacturer a pretty penny. Fast forward a half century. Television was on the march, and radio found itself with a shrinking audience. Clever radio people set out to differentiate radio broadcasting from television. One of the most famous examples was comedian Stan Freberg's production.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the Air Force. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Doesn't television stretch the imagination?
Up to 21 inches, yeah.
More reflective of the dynamics of radio as a personal companion was a piece put together at no little expense by the National Association of Broadcasters just a few years later. The Wag in Me suggests that this excellent production should have been used in media outlets besides just radio stations, because you were singing to the choir when you played it to people already listening to the radio. Nevertheless, it's fine work.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. Swinging!
smiling voice of radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio.
And at the end of every broadcast day, stations used to actually sign off instead of running through the night with satellite programming.
Well, all you sleepyheads out there, the milkman's on his way, and it's time for this announcer to call it a broadcast day. Wishing all of you sweet dreams and pleasant tomorrows.
And there you are, loyal listeners, a small detour on your summer travels with the DX Audio Service Potpourri. We'll look for more about a year from now. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. Next month, we'll finish our report from the trip between Minneapolis and Los Angeles, bringing you more of the stations we heard along the way. And then we'll get back to our history of early radio, which we left around 1930, I think. Hope to see you in 30 days, and until then, good listening, DXers.
Thanks, Mark. Well, our main line and our musings line is still out of service. Yep, you don't need to try to contact me and let me know. I'm well aware of this, and I'm trying to figure out a way around this. It seems that our telephone provider has suddenly gone belly up as a result of the economic recession. And all of a sudden, our area code 360 numbers just stopped working. Now, I'm in the process of trying to figure out a way to port those numbers over to a new service. However, the company was closed due to a bankruptcy, and I'm having problems in actually getting a hold of a person at the company. So I'm looking for alternatives. Just bear in mind it's going to take a while. And in the interim, here's what I'd like members to do. If you need to contact me, please write a letter. Now, I know for most of you it's easier to call, but unfortunately, this couldn't have happened at a worse time. I'm involved with a major project at work that will last until the end of August, and I'm not going to be able to accept or return telephone calls until well into late September as we get the project done and clean it up. So please, in the short term, send a letter, or you can record a message on a cassette, very short, brief, and to the point, and send that to me. Basically, what's going on in my life is that I'm moving four network TV stations, an ABC, an NBC, a CBS, and a Fox, all into one facility, offices, studios, transmitters, everything, into one facility. And it's a big, big project for myself and the three other guys that work with me. So we're going to need some time and some patience. I'm basically going in before 6 o'clock in the morning and seldom get home until 7 or 8 at night. Then I've got personal things I have to do around the house, and usually then I just collapse in bed. So in the interim, please help me out here. Email can be sent to sales, S-A-L-E-S, at nrcdxas.org. That is the club's main address. And perhaps somebody at the club headquarters can answer the question for you, or they can forward it on to me if it's something that only I can answer. But please remember that email is neither 100% perfect or guaranteed. Above all, don't send funny jokes, unsolicited audio files, pictures, or crazy mail. In other words, don't send email just because you have the ability. Send it because it's a specific reason. Now, as for our musings line, which I know is very important to many of the members, I think I have something that we can try if you're game to and you're up for the challenge here. The only thing that I ask is please keep your calls very, very brief, to the point. Otherwise, long-winded members are going to lock out the service for other members. So in other words, what you need to do is kind of organize your thoughts, get on the phone, say them quickly, and then get off the phone, okay? And you don't need to recap at the end of the conversation. Here's the telephone number. It's area code 646. That's New York City, Gotham City. Area code 646-402-5685. That's 402-5685. The password for the Musings line is 62544. That's 62544. Again, make it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. By the way, I think this problem with my schedule and the telephone lines only validates what I've been saying about getting some more helping hands in the club. Remember that the club as a whole is only as successful as the members put into it. And if 5% of the members never contribute, well, that just makes the club 5% less successful as it could be. So if you can help out in any way, please step up to the plate. Starting this past April, I offered DX dollars to members who have helped out, and since this time, we've given out over $100 of incentives to members. What is a DX dollar, you ask? Well, a DX dollar is given to members that help and contribute to the club. For example, let's say that you've helped significantly in the preparation for a convention activity, or that you have assisted the National Radio Club in a function. It might be for preparing and putting together a feature that we can use, or getting several people to join or rejoin the club. A DX dollar is a thank you for being more than just a subscriber to the magazine. DX dollars can be spent on your renewal of your DX audio service, or you can accumulate them and buy a subscription for someone else at no charge. Or they can be used to obtain back issue cassettes of subscriptions.
It's time for a pattern change. Or at least to flip over your tape for more of the DX audio service.